This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Turn this off. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una, wa anfa'na bima alamtana, wa zidna ilma. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa', wa qalbin la yakhsha', wa nafsin la tashba', wa du'ain la yustajabu lah. We begin in the name of Allah. All praise and glory be to Allah, and may His finest peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad, and His family and His companions, and all those who adhere to His guidance. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us, and benefit us with that which He teaches us, and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah to also protect us from knowledge that doesn't benefit, and a heart that is not humbled, and an appetite for this world that is never satisfied, and from a prayer, a supplication that is not heard, not accepted. Allahumma ameen. We welcome everyone back to our study of the concise surahs of the Qur'an, the short surahs of the Qur'an that we find at the end of the Mus'haf. Allah Azza wa Jal knew that they would be easier for us, and knew that they would be more revisited by us. And He knew that these would be recited more than any other surah, or surahs, longer surahs in the Qur'an. And subhanAllah, there is no shortage of wisdom in them. There is no shortage. Actually, it is not even calculable. You cannot measure or come across. No one ever can. The greatest scholars never will ever get past what is a shoreless ocean. And so, in our last session together, we studied Surah Al-Nasr and Surah Al-Masad, the great victory and support that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Surah Al-Masad, which was the defense of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam against the smear campaigns and the abuse of his uncle Abu Lahab and his wife, the wife of Abu Lahab, Umm Jamil. Tonight, inshallah, we will discuss two other surahs that are quite similar in theme, actually, which is Surah Al-Kawthar and Surah Al-Kafirun. Surah Al-Kawthar and Surah Al-Kafirun. So, as for Surah Al-Kawthar, Surah Al-Kawthar is also a surah that was revealed entirely for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his defense and for his appeasement. Just like Surah Al-Duha also, that we gave a khutbah about a few weeks prior. And why are all of these so necessary? Because naturally, when the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal comes to the world, it will have opposition. And that opposition will try to get creative. And ad hominems, meaning personality attacks, are one of the ways. You're either going to attack the religion. If you can't attack the religion, you're going to try to cast suspicion, delegitimize the bearer of the religion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you can't do that, you'll try the Sahaba, right? If you can't do that, you'll try the scholars of Islam. This is age old. We find this all throughout the Quran. Nuh alayhi salam, the very first messenger, he says to his people, "In taskharu minna fa inna naskharu minkum kama taskharun." You mock us, one day we will mock you back the way you mock us. We will have the last laugh, if not in this world, then on the Day of Judgment. And then you fast forward all the way to the Prophet ﷺ. It's not even just him in his lifetime. Even his Sahaba in his lifetime were attacked. Their personalities were put under question. And this is actually very interesting, what the Quran does with this. Because in Surah Al-Tawbah, which is the surah that unpacks so many of the qualities of the hypocrites, it discusses them mocking, the symbols of the religion, the personalities that symbolize the representatives of the religion, the great Sahaba. And then the surah says what? I just want to capture one point before we get into Al-Kawthar. If you ask them why they were mocking the Sahaba, they're going to tell you, "Innama kunna nakhudu wa nal'ab." We were just joking. It was just, we didn't actually mean to make fun of them and things like this, and we were just joking. When we said they were cowards in the battlefield and we said all they really care about are their stomachs, meaning their next meal, we were just joking, as if these are innocent jokes, right? What did Allah say? He called them out on this. He said, قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Are you actually, like, you dare mock Allah and His signs and His messenger? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't apologize. It's too late now. You have disbelieved after your faith. So he considered it a form of disbelief to mock the representatives of the religion, because that is because he knows they're actually mocking their religion. Had they not been Muslim, had they not been carriers of Islam, they would not have been mocked. Right? And so likewise with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got this more than anyone else. We said in Surah Al-Duha that the revelation interrupted, and they say, hey, where's the revelation? Why isn't it coming anymore? Why are you asking why isn't it coming? You didn't believe it in the first place. As if like you're so eager, right? Where's the wahi? The Surah Al-Duha came down in the pens of the Prophet ﷺ saying, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not detested you. Your Lord has not abandoned you. Because that is what they were actually insinuating by their question. Your Lord hates you. Your Lord has abandoned you. They used to even say sometimes the demon of Muhammad has not visited him in a while. Meaning he hasn't brought us any more Qur'an. Surah Al-Kawthar follows the same logical progression. They would come to the Prophet ﷺ or speak within earshot of the Prophet ﷺ, not where is the wahi, why hasn't it come? Where are the sons of this man? Why doesn't he have any male children? In other words, he's what? He's going to be short-lived. No one's going to carry his name. No one's going to carry his legacy. You're also in a very patriarchal tribal society, right? This is a big thing. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Surah Al-Kawthar to say, you call him Abtar. He's cut off. This man is just, it's like, don't worry, just hold out. This was their final hope now. That, okay, we can't do anything with the Quran. We can't do anything with the growth of Islam. Just wait it out. Look, he doesn't have any sons. Just a matter of time, he's going to die and that his religion is going to die with him. So Allah sends down Surah Al-Kawthar, which ends with what? Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Those guys holding out, boiling inside, shani'aka is those that despise and hate you, they are actually the ones that will be cut off. And so you just keep going, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not pay too much mind to their mockery, to their insults. Let's try to now walk through a bit of the meanings of the words of this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We, and this is the royal we. Many times people ask, why is there a we when Allah is singular? This is the royal we. Even among humanity, this is a convention of language when they're trying to sort of suggest their power or their authority to make a certain decision or pass a certain verdict or, you know, a legislation, they say, we have decreed. You and who else exactly, right? They mean the royal we. They don't mean sort of multiplicity, multiple. So they use this language, and so it was employed by the Quran as well. We have granted you, أَعْطَيْنَاكَ, granted you, O Muhammad, al-Kawthar. And al-Kawthar comes from كثير. What is كثير? What's kathir? Plenty, many. That's it, right? So al-kawthar means we've given you in abundance, right? That's the general linguistic meaning of this word. And certainly Allah Azza wa Jal has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such an abundance that is unmatched by any other prophet of Allah, both in this world and in the next. Part of that abundance is a river in paradise that belongs to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that follows the same name. The river of Al-Kawthar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Al-Kawthar is a river that its water is brighter than al-laban, than milk. He said, and it is more fragrant than perfume. أطيب من المسك. He said, وأحلى من العسل, and sweeter than honey. He said, آنيته, and there's so many hadith, subhanAllah, about Al-Kawthar, and how wide it is, so vast, you can't see the two banks of the river. He says, آنيته, its vessels, the containers you drink from, the cups, كَعَدَدِ نُجُومِ السَّمَاءِ are as abundant as the stars of the sky. As abundant as the stars of the sky. And of course we know that Al-Kawthar, he will even be allowed to give people to drink from it before Jannah. In the thirst of the Day of Judgment, those who drank from his Sharia, essentially, right? Those who drank from his Sunnah will be allowed to drink from his river. Because the Ahadith mentioned that some will be pulled away and he will say, they are from my Ummah. He will be told by the angels, you have no idea what they introduced after you. How they swerved left and right and tried to disown or displace or replace your teachings. You have nobody, you don't have any children, you're about to get cut off. Allah says what? We've given you so much, right? And you know, they say the numbers of the cups, right? This is either a reference to the great numbers of his ummah, right? How many people are named Muhammad now? You know, even in London, I was seeing this governmental report, even in London in 2019, Muslims are a minority in London, right? They have some presence, of course. They're concentrated there, the UK Muslims, a lot of them. But even in London, they're still a minority. And the number one baby name in London in 2019 is what? Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And I guarantee you, they didn't even get all the spellings. They didn't include Mamadou, they didn't include Mehmet. What else is there, right? These are all Muhammad, by the way, right? But like, you will have no children. You have no children. You're worthless. Your time is almost up. Allah is telling him, these will be the numbers of your ummah. And he's even fast-forwarding him to the point of the reunion. Like, you're going to be sitting with your ummah. May Allah make us of them. Say ameen. We're going to be sitting with him, and he's going to be giving us from the cups, right? So Allah moves him past, right, that ugly scene, that taunting, to the scene of the reunion when all of the followers of Muhammad will be brought to him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And also, the scholars said this could also be a reference to the great numbers of the scholars, because the correlation between scholars and stars is something we've spoken about in the past, in both ayat and ahadith. So this is of the abundance he gave him, is Al-Kawthar the river. But he gave him so much more. When the Prophet ﷺ said, for instance, I was given five things that no prophet before me has been given. Who remembers them? Let's go, guys. Pop quiz. You're going to tell me you were fasting today? I know. Sheikh Ghad, Bismillah. I thought you were trying to save the day. Sisters, save the brothers, quickly. Okay, that's one. Sisters, what were you saying? What was the question? Okay, so it's my fault because I forgot to say what I always say at the beginning of the talks. The dividers on the right, remove them towards the wall so you can see the screen. I'm not saying stare into my pleasant face, but it does help. The visual aid does help retain attention. And I apologize in advance. Yes? Okay, but in this particular hadith, there were five mentioned. He said, I was given victory by way of fear from a month's journey. A month before my army arrives, Allah strikes fear into the enemy and they have a change of heart, right? And they abort mission. The other one was, as Dr. Shahid mentions, and the entire earth was permitted for me as a masjid, meaning a place of sujood. That you don't have to go to a masjid proper, a musalla within a masjid, to make salah. Wherever my ummah finds themselves at a time of prayer, they can simply pray. He said, the earth was made for me a masjid, wa tahura, and a means of purification. Means what? If there's no water, you can use the earth, the dry earth, for this ablution, as we know as tayammum. And he also said, wa ju'ilat liya shafa'a, and the great intercession. Permission to intercede on behalf of the entire creation, to start judgment, start reckoning, was granted to him and no other prophet. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمِ, and my ummah was permitted to benefit from the spoils of war. Because in previous nations, those who fought in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal were not allowed to consume from the spoils of war. If they were victorious, they would have to gather all of the spoils in a central location, and Allah would send a fire from the sky to incinerate them as a sign of acceptance. And there is a hadith also that says, I was given six things that no other prophet was given. And the sixth, those were five. The sixth one is, and every prophet was sent, this is what relates back to Al-Kawthar now, every prophet was sent to a particular people, وَأُرْسِلْتُ أَبُعِثْتُ لِلنَّاسِ عَامَّةِ, but I was sent to all of humanity. So he will have more members in his ummah than any other prophet, any other messenger. And of course, also of what he was granted as part of that shafa'a, even we should mention it, because if we're not going to mention Surah Al-Kawthar, then when? He was also granted al-maqam al-mahmud. You know, we are told that whomever makes that dua after hearing adhan gets eligible for the shafa'a, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith on this is clear. But what is that dua? You should learn it. Part of that dua is what? وَابْعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَ. And O Allah, elevate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the station of praise that you had promised him. And so that station of praise is that moment of shafa'a, that moment of intercession, when everyone will praise him because it was a deadlock and nobody could release the tension of the Day of Judgment, you know, appeal to Allah effectively to start the judgment already, even if we're going to the fire, a'udhu billah, right? That's the idea. Except him, so they will all recognize his virtue, that only he was able to do it. And that's why it is called al-maqam al-mahmud, the station of praise, or the praiseworthy station. So that's inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We've given you so much. It includes the river called Kawthar, but it is even so much beyond that as well. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So, فَصَلِّ, pray, this is a command verb, صَلِّ, صَلَاه, namaz, pray, صَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, for your Lord, وَانْحَرْ, and sacrifice. And so, first of all, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling him, I'm giving you and will continue giving you like I've given no one. And so because of what I've given you, pray to your Lord. But this applies to all of us as well, that prayer is an exercise of thanks. It's a devotion that is supposed to be seated in thanks, in gratitude. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكُ. So pray. Why? Because of Kawthar. And so why do we pray? How often do we actually train our children upon this mindset, right? That we're praying in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I have to pray? He has done this for us and done that for us and done this for us, and he only asks that of us. It is pray. You know, I read an article in a Muslim magazine a few years back about someone that was taught to hate prayer by his Muslim parents because of the way they used to wake him up for Fajr. It was always shaming and blaming and guilting and sort of terrorizing and what's wrong with you, all of that, right? How about we sort of shift the way we explain this? Shift the way we speak about this, right? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. So pray to your Lord. You know also what is worth reflection here is that he's in a lot of pain, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is human. To say that he cannot have sons is bringing back the memories of the fact that he did have sons, and one after another they died in his lifetime. It's not that he didn't have sons, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But every time he had a son, right, he would pass. And so Allah is telling him, escape to the prayer. So just escape to the prayer. You know, when people are talking to you, one of the people nowadays, because they don't have this treasure of salah, they seek out all these myopic, like this destructive coping mechanisms, right? Allah is saying, talk to me. They're talking to you in this sort of belligerent way, in this, you know, humiliating way, talk to me. We know that is the objective of the prayer, to get to the point that you want to be with Allah and you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, it's you I worship. Yes? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. وَانْحَرْ, and sacrifice. So وَانْحَرْ is different from وَذْبَحْ. What's the difference between إِذْبَحْ and إِنْحَرْ? Ah. viewer's discretion is advised, but yes. So inhar is slaughter, right? So if you grab a lamb, and subhanAllah, we're in Dhul Hijjah, so this is like perfectly timed by Allah, not by us. You grab a lamb or a goat or a sheep or a cow, you're going to slaughter them as your sacrifice, right? But the way you sacrifice a camel is not by slaughter. Why? Because they're really tall. So you're probably not going to reach. And if you reach, here's the real reason, I'm being half funny here, is that it's not very effective because the neck is so far from the heart. So the way the Arab would sacrifice a camel is called nahr. Nahr is like the neck opening, right here. So at the base of the neck, near the chest, they would just puncture it. And that would sort of remove the blood in the fastest, most painless, most humane way as well, right? So that is nahr. So the scholar said, the ayah says, wanhar, not wadhbah, so puncture, not slaughter, to reference camels, because camels are more expensive. In other words, pray your best prayer for your Lord, and when you sacrifice, make the most expensive sacrifice you can afford. It said all of that in the word wanhar, right? It used the term that is used for camels, and of course camels are more expensive than others. And you know the Prophet ﷺ, of course, like, followed the instructions best. How many camels did he slaughter in Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj? Does anyone know? He brought 100 camels and 63 of them by hand. He performed nahr. Also, subhanAllah, a testament to the great strength Allah kept in him, even over 60 years of age. Right? Off into battle after battle. The battle started, you know, when he was 53 years old, onward, right? And then in his final year, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's slaughtering 63 camels or performing nahr on 63 camels. This is a humongous undertaking. In any case, Allah saying, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, so pray to your Lord. And of course, that includes the Eid prayer when there is nahr, but it's all the prayers. وَنْحَرْ, and also perform the nahr, the sacrificial slaughter for your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last ayah, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Inna, certainly, shani'aka, shana' means to hate. Shana'a means to hate. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ. Don't be driven by your hate of a people. It's another verse to be unfair to them. Don't be driven by your shana'an of someone into being unfair to them. So shana'a means to hate. Inna shani'aka, the one that hates you, هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ, he is the one that is cut off. And that was the term used against the Prophet ﷺ. So they would use the word abtar. He is cut off, meaning progeny. So Allah is saying, no, they're going to find out. They're going to be cut off, not you. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And of course, whoever hates the sharia of the Prophet ﷺ is also cut off from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not just about legacy in this world. To hate the sharia is to reject the sharia. Allah Azza wa Jal said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That is because these hypocrites hated what Allah revealed, and so he forfeited their deeds. Why did they forfeit? Because they left Islam. Leaving Islam forfeits your deeds. So to hate the sharia cuts you off from Allah's mercy because you've left Islam. How about feeling burdened by the sharia? Because some people say, wait a minute, like, I don't exactly love praying fajr, but I do. So does that mean I hate the sharia? People always ask this question. What do you guys say? What's your verdict? Huh? If you're waking up, no. That is basically the correct answer, right? So the fact that you made yourself get out of bed means it was heavy on you. It was heavy on you. But your love for Allah in that moment superseded your love for your comfort. Right or wrong? It doesn't mean there's going to be no discomfort. That's part of the challenge. If it was seamless and easy, it wouldn't be a real challenge. It wouldn't be a real evaluation. Correct? But if you are burdened by the Sharia to the degree of non-compliance, you're not waking up, you're not respecting the parents, you're not eating right, you're not dressing right, then that is a sign of you being somewhere in the middle between those two worlds. That's called nifaq. That's called the disease of hypocrisy, nifaq, working its way, its toxic way through the heart. So that, those are the three levels. If you hate in a way that causes you to reject, right, then you are cut off, abtar, from Allah's mercy. If you are burdened but you power through, then that is a great sign of your faith. Yes, you might get to a greater level of faith where you start enjoying it more than anything, right? My favorite hour of the day is Fajr hour, right? That sort of thing. I get up excited about it for Qiyamul Layl, yes? That's the other one. And in the middle is if you're burdened in a way that makes you half-step or neglect, then you are in a conflict and you need to win that war.